Reading this evening is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, beginning to read at the first verse. It says this: Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is also written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. Mark. Yes, Lord, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would fall on Mark now. Lord, anoint him to preach this message to us, and anoint us to hear it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bad idea this. Sorry, Joe. Right, okay. Well, is this microphone on? Yes. Is it on? It was. Is it on now? No. Not that I need a microphone, but... Oh. Try again. Is that on? Is that on? God, that sounds dreadful. You can always tell when it's New Year, can't you? Number one is that the adverts start on TV on New Year's Day, don't they? Buy our product because you're guaranteed to lose weight. We've had all the Weight Watchers adverts. We've had some new ones this year that I've not seen, which are the almost rent-a-chef. You can actually send off on this catalogue thing on the internet. They'll cook all your meals for you that are fat-free. And they'll only charge you £60 for the pleasure of it, but they will deliver them to your door. Amazing. And of course, I don't know if you saw it, the Christine Beakley video, the Get Fit video. Anybody see that one advertised? Did you see it? It was amazing, wasn't it? Because there was more chance of kind of me flying to the moon than getting down into some of the positions that they were asking you to do, kind of one-handed press-ups. And kind of like these really extreme kind of like exercises that, yeah, you would be great if you did it for 6 months, but you've got no chance without doing it, without actually killing yourself first. And of course, we've had that awful, dreadful program, The Fat Losers, haven't we? Who invented that program? What were they thinking? They get all these people to come and, you know, the one who's, I think it's right, isn't it? The one who's lost the least weight has to go. I mean, how cruel is that program? It's just unreal, isn't it? Really dreadful, I have to say. I'm definitely not going to watch it. And the other reason why you know it's New Year is because you'll always get a sermon probably at the beginning of the New Year about temptation. Are they connected? Well, probably. Or it might just be the lectionary. Is it the lectionary? E100. Oh, it's E100. Okay, so perhaps they're working on the idea of it being a New Year. Well, perhaps they're not. Maybe not everybody does it at the New Year. It's just coincidence. Okay. So we're going to get into the passage, which is very much about temptation. A couple of things it tells us to start with. One is that the devil is real, is one thing that it actually says. But if I could have my PowerPoint on, there's 3 points really I want to look through that the passage really brings out for us. So the first one that it brings out for us is that the purpose of temptation. Because often when we think about temptation, we think about kind of a number of things, usually to do with kind of food or to do with sex or to do with power or to do with fame or to do with wealth or whatever it is. And often the things appear to be, they're just a temporary pleasure. If I give in to this temptation, it's going to be sweet and nice, it's going to be really good, but it's just a temporary thing. Now, when we look at the temptation of Jesus, there's a lot of lessons we can learn that will help us to really get to grips with this subject about temptation. And this first one is the purpose of it. The purpose of temptation is not just to give us some temporary pleasure. Because as Christians, you can give in to the temptation, woohoo! And you'll feel really bad about it afterwards when you've eaten the cake or you've had the beer or whatever your temptation is. But you know, don't you, deep down, that if we come to God and we say sorry, he'll forgive us and everything will be okay and that will be brilliant and it will be fine, it's okay. But you know, the devil has more of a purpose to temptation than just to fulfill a little temporary little need or desire in us. Now, why did the devil tempt Jesus? I hope the answer should be quite clear, is that Jesus had come, he came with a purpose and a mission to fulfill here on planet Earth. And the purpose of the temptation, it was just simply that mission and that purpose that Jesus had would not happen. That was why the devil tempted Jesus. He wanted to put an end to this life that had come into the world. Now, if you go to the next slide, please, the purpose of that temptation, of the Jesus' life, we actually find in Romans. Now, I want to just kind of take a moment just to go through this, because I really think it's important, and I want to kind of just dig a little bit deeper with the scripture, perhaps than I probably normally would in some of my talks. But in Romans, you probably can't see that, so I'll have to read it. But in Romans chapter 5, it says, "So as the sin of Adam brought the punishment of death to all people, one good act that Christ did makes all people right with God, and that brings true life for all. One man disobeyed God, and many became sinners. In the same way, one man obeyed God, and many will be made right with God." Now, it's quite deep stuff, isn't it? But it's this real point, isn't it? That Jesus was going to be the new Adam. When Adam was in the Garden of Eden, he failed, he disobeyed God, and through him, sin and death entered into the world that we now know. Now, a lot of people think that's really unfair, isn't it? That Adam sinned, and we all suffer the consequences of it. But here in this Bible, you hope this reading, you see the truth, isn't it, of what Jesus came to do? Because by one man, that curse was going to be reversed. Jesus was going to reverse the curse through his obedience. Through his obedience, not death was going to come, but life was going to come to all that would receive it. Through one man. But Jesus had to be obedient to God. He had to do what Adam failed to do right at the very beginning. He had to be faithful and true to God. Now, Jesus also, there's a lot of debate about this, about his human nature, isn't there? Because we hear a lot about Jesus, don't we, being the kind of divine Son of God. He's all singing, he's all dancing. He can walk on water, he can heal people, he can forgive sins. He can even fly, believe it or not. Jesus can fly, can't he? Yes, he can. I'll show you in a minute. He can do loads of things. And this incredible person that Jesus is, but we tend to forget that actually Jesus was fully human as well. And, you know, Jesus, the devil tempting him, must have felt that Jesus could have been defeated, that he could have given in to the temptation. But Jesus didn't give in, did he? Because he had to be sinless, he had to be faultless in order to go to the cross, in order to make sure that that life that this passage talks about, that the one man would bring to all, could actually be given to us. Because without the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, without a perfect, unblemished, sinless sacrifice, there would be no forgiveness of sins. and there would be no resurrection because Christ would have been, he would have just stayed in the grave had he sinned, because he would have deserved the punishment of death. And there would have been no resurrection and no life for us. So this mission, it's crucial that Jesus was to fulfill this. And this is why the devil approached him. But you know, all of us have a purpose in God. If you are here tonight and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're a born-again person, you're a Christian, you love God, you have a purpose that God has given for you. You have a purpose. Now, it's not necessarily to do what Jesus did, but for each one of us, we do have a purpose for our life. God has set it out for you to do. In Ephesians, doesn't it? It says we're created, we're renewed in God's image, and he has planned works for us to do that each one of us is to fulfill. And you know, the devil's job, isn't it, with us, is to stop that fulfillment of God's purpose in your life. That's what he wants to do with temptation. He's not bothered whether you enjoy a little bit of something nice or you have a temporary interest in that temptation. What he wants to do is to destroy the purpose for your life that God has for you. If he can't keep you out of heaven, he's sure as well going to try his best to stop you making any kind of good while you're here for the rest of your life. He wants to destroy that purpose. Now, for a lot of us, we may think, well, I'm too young to have a purpose in God. Well, Mary was 15 and she gave birth to the Son of God. How young do you want to be? Some of you might think, well, I'm getting near to retirement. I'm too old. I can't have that purpose in God anymore. Well, John, the Apostle John, he was 90 when he wrote the book of Revelation. Some of you may think you're just not worthy or just up to it or a little bit too kind of messed up, isn't it, to actually fulfill any kind of purpose that God's got for you. But I want to say tonight, you know, that God has got a purpose, whether you're young, whether you're old, and whether you think really down on yourself. Because, you know, if you think down on yourself, you're in good company. Every person in the Bible, when you look through them, they were peculiar, strange, messed up, probably pretty much the same as we are. But they all had one thing, is they trusted God and they tried to overcome the obstacles that were in front of them. So that's the purpose, you know, and God allows temptation, doesn't he? Because we grow and we learn through the temptation. And praise God, Jesus didn't give in to that temptation. So the second thing about temptation is it's the way of temptation that this passage brings out, isn't it? If you are going to be an overcomer, you're going to be somebody who is able to follow that purpose that God has for your life as close as you can, then we need to listen and learn from these temptations, because our enemy, the devil, he goes around like a roaring lion looking who he can sort out and destroy and devour. But we need to be wise to his tactics. Now, the first temptation that Jesus faced was the devil said to him, turn the stones into bread. If you're the Son of God, turn the stones into bread. Now, I wonder why he did that. Now, Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. So it's pretty obvious, isn't it? The devil's first point of attack was weakness. What is it that Jesus' body, his flesh, would have been craving? I'm not sure it had been bread, but bread, food, isn't it? Now, I don't know whether you've ever fasted at all. If you have, you'll know what that probably felt like. Because a few years ago, I did a fast, and fasting for one day is really hard. Because after the first day that you fast, you go into a grocery shop, and everything glistens and speaks to you. And you make a mental note that when this fast ends tomorrow, I'm going to go down to that shop and I'm having one of those, two of those, three of those, and five of them as well. It really is, oh, unbelievable. The temptation just to give in and do it is amazing. But, you know, the devil knows what our weaknesses are. And for Jesus at that point, his weakness was he needed food. His flesh, his body needed food. So that was the first way that he went to try and tempt Jesus. And you know, for us, we all have weaknesses because we're feeble, we're human beings, We're just ordinary people filled with God's grace and God's power, but we have weaknesses that I'm sure most of us are aware of. And when you know what those weaknesses are, then you're probably halfway to being able to overcome, to resist those temptations. And when you're honest with yourself about what those weaknesses are, you're halfway there. If I could have the next... The second way that the devil tempted Jesus is he said, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself off this big tall building, because God will not let you perish. He'll send the angels and they will catch you. So I told you he could fly, didn't I? Yeah. The angels would catch him and he would be flying around. Okay. Now, I think that when I was thinking about that, that is the strangest temptation I've ever heard. Throw yourself off a roof. I thought, well, I'm not really going to be too tempted by that, to be honest. Throw myself off a roof, because I know gravity is going to take account and I'm going to go splat, and I'm not looking forward to that. But you know what the devil is doing is he uses scripture to misrepresent something to Jesus. He's saying, he's daring him almost, and he's using scripture to do it. He's like, it's like a half truth almost. And often, you know, the devil is very subtle and he can do this. And what he does is he presents something that's kind of half good, and he can tell you that it's good, but really it's going to lead to disaster. Now, I want to give you an example. If you were to do the lottery, for instance, I've often thought about doing it because the little voice that comes into my head says, you know, if you just bought that ticket, if you won the Euro Millions, £36 million, think how much good you could do with that money. I'm thinking, yes, I could. 18 million for me and 18 million for good causes or less. You could do a lot of good with it, doesn't it? But what we don't realise, isn't it, is that, and this is, you know, a personal conscience thing, I'm sure, for most of us, isn't it? But for me, I know that one of my weaknesses is that, yeah, I could go down and buy another lottery ticket, or then another one, or start another form of gambling, perhaps. So what started off as something, a good motive for something that wasn't really that good, it ends up leading from one thing to another. And the second, third thing that Jesus, the temptation that he faces, is the devil takes him on top of a high mountain and he said, see all the kingdoms of the world, see their glory and their honor. I will give them to you if you bow down and you worship me. Now, unless you're a really power-hungry dictator or megalomaniac, again, it doesn't seem to be a great temptation, does it? But for Jesus, he had come to save the whole world, hadn't he? And here's the devil is offering him a shortcut to it, isn't he? You know, take control of this. Not the way of the cross, not the way of submission, not the way of humility, but take it by power and have the power. And he says, doesn't he? He shows the good stuff about the temptation, that, you know, the kingdoms of the earth, think how splendid it would all be. But what he doesn't show is that what's underneath it all, the sin, the corruption, the evil that's underneath all of that, that show just really how bad it is. And for us, you know, we can learn from that, isn't it? That often the devil will present something really good. It looks fantastic. And let's be honest, you know, if he didn't package that way, sin is not going to be that attractive, is it? He ain't going to package you up in the reality of what it looks like, isn't it? And that's what that temptation is about. It looks great, but underneath it, you find that it's really a pile of trash and awfulness. And, you know, another illustration that I thought that could really help us think about that is that the beer adverts, isn't it? Or the vodka VJ or the Bacardi adverts. Have you seen those? And they're dancing around, the party's there, and it's all looking brilliant, and the stuff's going everywhere in it, in the glasses, and everybody's, way, you're having a good time, it's brilliant. What the adverts don't show you is the people the morning after, when they've been to the party, and they've all got a headache. And what they definitely don't show you, don't you, is like the family man who's spent all of his money because he's got addicted to the stuff, and his kids are doing without food, or the violence that takes place because people have been so consumed with so much alcohol. It shows you the good and what it can be. It looks fantastic, but underneath, it does run into danger. And if I could just have the next slide up, please. In the book of James, go back one, please. It talks about that the temptation to give in to evil comes from us and only us. And this is from the Message. I love this. It says, we have no one to blame but the leering, seducing flare-up of our own lust. Lust gets pregnant and has a baby, sin. Sin grows into adulthood and becomes a real killer. You know, for us, isn't it? You know, very rarely temptation is just, you know, going from A to C. It has to go through B as well. It goes through stages, doesn't it? And the best way of kind of, I thought about that is the story of David and Bathsheba, isn't it? Do you know that one? Yeah. When David is on the roof of his palace looking out over and he sees Bathsheba, who's gorgeous, beautiful woman, having a bath. Now, you know, he sees her and he lusts after her. Now, at that point, he could have kind of said, right, Lord, I've looked. I'm really sorry. I shouldn't have looked at that. I'm not going to come out on the roof at this time again at night. I'm really sorry. And he could have repented and that would have been the end of it. Now, that's not David. That's what he does, is it? He gets her to come to his place and he sleeps with her. If that ain't bad enough, she gets pregnant. And then it goes from there, doesn't it, that he ends up murdering her husband because he was starting out looking quite casually over the roofs one tea time. Sin, it lusts, gets pregnant, has a baby, and sin grows into adulthood. And you know, I'm going to say this to the guys in here, because ladies, you can close your ears now, okay? You know, for us as guys, one of the problems, isn't it, that we have for a lot of men and a lot of young men is pornography, isn't it? And that is just how it works, isn't it? Do you know how many of us have actually put a search on Google for images for love or a picture of something that we're looking for, and suddenly you're faced with pictures that really shouldn't be there because they're nothing to do with the search engine? I have to be honest, that's happened to me. And I'm looking through these things thinking, well, that doesn't look like what I was looking for. What's this? And I'm thinking, I really shouldn't be looking at this. I should be throwing the computer out the window. And I'm not saying that I do this, but you know what's coming next, don't you? It's given birth to something. And suddenly, the brain's starting to switch off. And you're thinking about things that you shouldn't be thinking about. And then are you going to click on the image and open up the photograph? Well, maybe I will, maybe I won't, no. Yeah, the photograph gets opened. And then there's one, then there's two, then there's three, then there's four. And then before you know it, it's led to looking, hasn't it, for 2 hours at pornography on the internet. You know, and all of us, probably guys, if we're honest, have we ever been involved in that? Of course we have, if we're honest with ourselves, haven't we? Many people have. And that's just how it works, isn't it? But there was a way of getting out at the beginning, wasn't there? See the image first off, before it even got chance to birth in us, and then leave it to one side. Because we know, don't we, that like that devil offering Jesus the kingdoms of the earth, that it looks good on the outside, but underneath it's going to lead to guilt, bitterness, and being taken away from God's purpose. And the last one that we're going to just look about is to know yourself, how to overcome it all. I did have a video, but I've forgotten all about it. I'll show it to you at the end, maybe. So if the devil is like this, can we actually overcome temptation is the question, isn't it? Temptation is a powerful thing. The devil is powerful. But he is defeated, and we don't have to give into it. There are ways of overcoming it. And the first way that we can overcome it is to know the enemy, isn't it? Jesus said about the devil, he said, I saw him fall from heaven like lightning on the ground. He said he was a murderer from the very beginning, and he's the father of lies. And I think once we can see that that's the truth, then we'll know that whatever he's offering, it's not for our good. No matter how good the temptation looks, it's not for our good. And the second thing that we can do is to know yourself, isn't it? What are your weaknesses? What are the places where you feel the weakest? I heard a story about a guy. He'd started a diet at the New Year and it was all going really well. He was giving up cake. He'd even done that thing, changed his route to work so he didn't have to drive around the cake shop. And I thought that was quite impressive, wasn't it? He was doing all the right things to get this right. And he came into work one day and he got this huge coffee cake, massive thing. And all of his friends were like, oh, you're let down. You've really failed. You've done it miserably, haven't you? How have you ended up with that cake? Well, he said really simply, he said, I drove past the cake shop by accident. I took a wrong turn. There was a diversion on the road. And I went past the cake shop and I said to myself, well, seeing as it's an accident, Lord, if you really want me to have one of those chocolate cakes, coffee cakes, in the window, he said, open up a parking place for me. And he said, lo and behold, after driving around the block 8 times, there was a parking place there. But, you know, we must know our weaknesses, isn't it? And be honest with ourselves. You know, if we have got weaknesses, then, you know, as the saying goes, isn't it? I think I heard Mike Pilavarci say it once, you know, if your weakness is cake, don't even open the fridge door. Don't put your head in it in the first place. Or as the little boy said when his mum asked him what he was doing with his head in the kitchen floor, he said, I'm just fighting temptation. As if, yeah. We can take steps, can't we, by knowing ourselves and our weaknesses that to avoid places where we know that temptation is going to be the strongest, be it the fridge or wherever else it is for you. And the third thing is we can know the word, isn't it? You know, Jesus, the most powerful way that he put the devil in his place and defeated the temptation was not just in his willpower, is he used God's word to refute what the devil had said, isn't it? Every single time he used the God's words. And, you know, for us to defeat it, we need the same, don't we? We need God's words to be richly in us. We need to spend time studying it, meditating on it, so it becomes part of us. So that, you know, I don't know if you've ever had this, isn't it? But you suddenly, you know, you've looked at something years ago, but you need a verse and suddenly it appears in your head. And my memory is shocking. I've got the worst memory here. And yeah, I can remember Bible verses from last week or next week or 10 years ago because they've become part of me. If you ask me to remember them now, probably two, I wouldn't be able to do it. But when the need is there, knowing those words in the scriptures can really help us to defeat temptation. So, you know, I want to kind of just leave you with that thought. And while I was praying, actually, God just gave me a few words that I just want to read. It's a bit like it's probably for me, but... And I just really felt that God wanted to say that, you know, we're to set our hearts this year on fulfilling God's purpose and plan for our lives. Don't let anything hold you back. Don't change or trade God's purpose for a pile of dung, but be an overcomer, and when you fail, return quickly and learn and grow from your mistake. And that's really what I really leave you with, that final thought, isn't it? That, you know, for us, you know, we're not Jesus. We are imperfect, and there will be times when we get it wrong, and that is where we need to quickly come back and not let these things grow. Don't let the sin that's become a baby get any bigger. Don't let it grow into adulthood. Come back and repent and change and let God's grace and forgiveness wash clean that failure that's happened. Crystal's just going to come and sing for us something on that. Thank you.
tried so many times without you. But everything is nothing without you. And once again I'm falling to my knees. So Lord, with your grace, save me, please.
So as we come to the Lord's table, we bring our failures and our need to start again with us. As we come